Have you ever been guilty of looking at someone that's your own age and thinking, surely I don't look that old? I reminded the story about a man who was sitting for his first appointment in the waiting room with a new dentist. And in the waiting room was a copy of the dentist's diploma. And he looked at the diploma and saw the full name and thought, that name sounds familiar. I think I might have went to high school with him 40 years ago. And he went into the dentist room and had his exam. But when the dentist came in, he looked at the dentist and he quickly discarded the thought that he went to school with him, because this dentist, his gray, balding head and his wrinkled lines all over his face, he just quickly dismissed the idea that he went to school with him. Well, as the exam went on and he finished up, he thought, well, maybe it's his older brother. And he asked the dentist, he said, hey, did you go to Martin High School? And the dentist said, I sure did. I'm a proud Blue Jay. And he said, well, when did you graduate? He said, class of 1959. And he said, well, so did I. We you were in my class. And the dentist looked at him and said, oh, yeah, what'd you teach? So I don't know if this lesson is for you this morning or not. I will let you determine that and say a few things about that. But I want to speak this morning about the idea of bearing fruit in old age. You can turn your Bible to Titus chapter 2. That's where I'm going to read from in just a moment. Titus chapter 2. We read that in our reading this week, and I want us to consider a passage out of that this morning. But I'm reminded of Psalm 92 at verse 12, where the psalmist says, the righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God, and they still bear fruit in old age. They are full of sap and green. And so here we find this description of righteous people, and they are described as palm trees and cedar trees, and they are flourishing in the house of God. But notice there in verse 14 that they still bear fruit in old age, that they are full of sap and green, or they are fresh and flourishing. And this passage suggests to us this morning the importance of older Christians and the importance of still living their faith as you grow older, despite your age. And when you think about it in the scripture, God over and over again used the lives of individuals in their older age to accomplish amazing things for the purpose of God. I immediately think of Abraham at 75 years old, left Haran. And here he was, walking and living according to the promises of God by faith. And all throughout the scriptures, we have individuals like Joshua and Caleb serving the Lord and motivated even in their old age. We think about Daniel, and we might often think of Daniel as this young man. And certainly at the beginning of the book, he was in his youth. But when you get to the end of the book, he was maybe over 80 years old when he was thrown into the lion's den. And then you get into the New Testament and you think about Zacharias and Elizabeth. They were both well advanced in years, and yet Zachariah was serving in the temple. Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist, the forerunner for Christ. Simeon and Anna were two elderly people, and they bore witness and testified to the truth of Christ when Jesus was a child. And then you think about Paul. Paul the aged, he refers to himself in Philemon in verse 9. And so there are so many examples in the scriptures of individuals serving the Lord even in their golden years. These great moments of faith by those who are older. Psalm 73 at verse 26 says, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And although our bodies may grow older, and though they may begin to hurt, and aches and pains come along, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that we are being renewed inwardly day by day. That we can still serve, we can still continue to grow in our faith. And what I want us to see this morning as a church is that we must value our older Christians. We need to value them and to encourage them. And I want you to look in Titus chapter 2 at verse 1. I'll begin reading. Titus chapter 2 at verse 1. Paul writes, but as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good. And so train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Likewise, urge the younger men to be self-controlled. Show yourself in all respects to be a model of good works, and in your teaching show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us. Now, I'll just stop right there, and I want you to notice that in Titus, the Apostle Paul issues this challenge to Titus on the island of Crete. And Paul argues that Christians must match their lifestyle to their doctrine, that they need correct beliefs, but they also need correct behavior behind those beliefs. And he mentions some different groups of people that need instruction. So he begins by saying, instruct the older men. Then he says, instruct the older women. And then he mentions the young men. And then also, if you keep reading, the slaves. And each group had a role. And significantly here, I think Paul begins with the older members of the congregation. Now, what do we mean by old? I'm going to be really careful in defining that this morning. But some of the philosophers who were older than maybe Paul, when Paul was a younger man, would say that old meant over 60, or some would say over 50, or maybe the idea is just that your children have now grown and they are out of the house and you're in a different stage than those who are younger. But I want us to see that Paul is addressing people who are older Christians. And this, I think, is impressive for us this morning because it shatters this myth that someone might ever conclude in their walk with the Lord that when they reach a certain age, that I am too old to contribute to the cause of Christ. That my time has passed and there's not much work for me to do. But when you read Titus chapter 2, you can see Paul saying that is nonsense. Because Paul singles out older people as the people to whom Titus should focus his energy and spend some time with. You see, what we see in Titus chapter 2 is that God has a role for older Christians. God has a role for you as an older Christian. And the question remains, though, is that once you hit this retirement years, and maybe you can't do the things that you once did, you don't have the energy. You don't have the health to do maybe and serve as you used to. But the question remains is if I am supposed to continue to be renewed, if I am supposed to continue to live out my faith, then what can I do? What role and what purpose do I have? When you read this passage of Scripture in Titus chapter 2, I think what Paul indicates to older Christians is that your role is as much about becoming something as doing something. And I'll explain that as we go on here, because Paul gives Titus the responsibility of telling these older Christians of the type of character, the type of behavior that they are to have, that they are to become and to continue to increase in the knowledge of Christ and to become more and more like Christ. Now, if you're maybe reading out of the old King James Version, when you come to a passage like this and you read about Paul's instructions to older men, and you might immediately read words like sober and grave. Maybe sometimes when you read words like that, that idea of grave, well, you might just immediately think that what Paul is saying is that is when I get older and I'm an older Christian, that I need to be grave and almost maybe have somewhat of a sour look on my face and just be grouchy all the time and not really enjoy anything at all. Or maybe you might think about the old picture of the man in the overalls with the pitchfork and with no smile on his face. And then his wife is looking out of the distance and she has this grim look on her face. And we might conclude, well, that's what it means that when we get older as Christians, that we're to be grave. That we're not really to enjoy life anymore, but that we have to be a certain way. Well, let's think about these terms that Paul uses so that we can correctly define them and really apply them to our lives. So first of all, Paul says older men are to be sober-minded. So he mentions sober-minded, or your version might translate this word as temperate. Or in many newer versions, I think it's the Holman Christian Standard, says level-headed. It's that the older man, teach the older man to be level-headed. And the idea is that when as you grow and as you mature, that you're level-headed and you're not rash in any area of life. That as an older Christian, now that you are sober-minded, you've grown in this and you are level-headed, that you don't live in excess. That the older Christian is not to live as a slave to his appetites, whether he is sleeping or spending money or engaging in fun and recreation, that he keeps a firm grip and understanding of his desires and drives. He is level-headed. You know, old age maybe tends to magnify some characteristics and qualities, that habits that we've had maybe for years in our younger years are really magnified when we get older. If we tend to get angry when we're younger, well, we might grow and be an older, grouchy person. Or we might be shy when we're younger and maybe be reclusive. Or when we're younger, we might really tend to be very brash and be strong in our opinions. And then we grow older and we can become maybe excessively opinionated. But being sober-minded, being level-headed, really is this idea of being balanced in our personality and in our personal habits, that we avoid extremes on both sides with our words and our behavior and our moods. Paul says, teach the older men to be sober-minded, to be level-headed. Then he mentions the word dignified. Dignified. Or the term grave, as the King James puts it. It doesn't mean that you can't crack a smile. It doesn't mean that you always have to be so formal and rigid and stiff. So really, maybe your version might even translate this as worthy of respect. Paul is not saying that it is inappropriate for you as you grow older to have fun. But he does mean that that needs to be kept within bounds. In other words, he says, teach the older men to be worthy of respect. That an older man, an older Christian, is not to play the fool. But that as this man matures and grows in his age and in his faith, there is a seriousness about him. The seriousness about him reflects the seriousness of life. And it reflects the seriousness of a life that is lived for God. That the older man is to be dignified, to conduct himself in such a way that shows what is truly important. When we have men like that in this congregation, men of weight, men of great respect and dignified, that is such a strength to a congregation. To have men that we can look up to. And it really is the idea of, yeah, you can have a sense of humor, you can laugh, you can enjoy life, but you have a seriousness about your life. And I'll tell you, that's what we need. We need more Christians. We need more of us to be serious about the things of God. To take God seriously. To take eternity seriously. Paul says, teach these older men to be dignified. Then he mentions self-controlled or sensible. The NIV translates that word. We encounter this word early on in the book of Titus, in Titus chapter 1 and verse 8, with the qualifications of elders. The idea is that being a sensible man is someone who is known for sound judgment. This is really, for the older man, this is to be reflected in their life. That they are self-controlled, they're sound in their judgment, in the words that they use, or the approach that they might take in helping an individual. That they are self-controlled in their desire, self-controlled in their behaviors. The word can really just mean safe-minded. It means that as you grow older, Paul says, Titus, you teach these older men to be safe-minded. For them to really have clear thoughts and clear control of their desires and of their passions. I mean, you think about the individuals in the scripture who failed in the second half of their lives. It was Noah who got drunk after the flood. It was David who had great moments of faith, but as he grew older, he fell and committed adultery. Solomon flirted with all kinds of false ideas and error. Paul says, you teach the older men in the congregation to be self-controlled. You teach them to be safe-minded and not fall into the trap as they grow older to let their guard down. Remain self-controlled. But then he says finally about the older men to be sound, that they are to be sound. They're to be in good shape is the idea, in good shape or in good health in at least three areas that he mentions, really three critical areas of faith, love, and perseverance. And so you think about what he says, Paul says the older men are to be sound or healthy in their faith. Paul is a great example of this. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 27 for just a moment. In Acts chapter 27, Paul says this is really to be one of the defining characteristics in the life of an older, mature Christian, is to be healthy, to be in shape in their faith. In Acts chapter 27, it's the story of Paul setting sail for Rome, and there's the storm that we see on the sea that threatened the lives of everybody on that ship that was bound for Rome. And the men had given up all hope of that they would ever be saved from this terrible storm. But Paul speaks up in verse 25, and I just want you to notice what he says. He says, "So take heart, men, for I have faith in God that it will be exactly as I have been told." Here is this older Paul, this man of faith, who says, take heart, don't be afraid. I am convinced that everything will happen as exactly as God said it would. See, Paul has lived a life of faith with God. He has seen God deliver him time and time again. And here is this older Paul speaking up and saying, don't get anxious about this. Let's just stay focused on God. Let's have faith in God. And Paul put his faith really on display. This soundness of faith that should really characterize every older Christian man. That there's this great shape of faith that regardless of what storm or trial hits, the older, mature Christian remains rooted and grounded in the faith. But then Paul says that to remain sound in love, that they're to be in good health when it comes to love. That they're not to allow their love to grow cold for God. They're not to allow their love to grow cold for one another. But they're to be sound in that love, in that it is a type of love that is always concerned about the other person. That it is a firm kind of love. It can be a tough love. A love that might need to warn or in some way help or rebuke or to exhort a Christian who is falling away, who is falling into some trap of sin. And you have the older Christian who has lived their life and has experience in their life, and they are able to come along in love and to exhort and to encourage that younger Christian to remain sound, to stay in good health. Because ultimately, Paul says that the older men are to be sound in endurance. This sums these up, I think, that they are to be examples of perseverance. That the older Christian, this older man in his faith, is not to be wavered. As Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 4, that some waver back and forth and they're tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. But as an older Christian grows and matures and becomes more and more like Christ, once again, they are not knocked off of their foundation when something new comes along. They're not knocked off of their stride, but rather they are an example to all the younger men of what overcoming difficulties looks like. Remaining faithful to God until the very end. And to remain faithful and persevere with His people, even through thick and thin, even when it gets difficult, to the very end. Paul says, teach the older men to have these characteristics. Then he mentions the older women. He turns and he says in the text in Titus chapter 2, he says, so then, or likewise, just that idea that what the older women are to become really resembles what the older men are to become. And so first of all, Paul says they are to be reverent in behavior. Reverent in behavior. I believe that this is the only time in the New Testament, it's a popular Greek word, but the only time in the New Testament that this word that's translated reverent is used. And really what it means is putting two words together is the idea of being fitted for the temple. That a woman, this older woman, is to be reverent in her behavior, so much so that they are fitted for service in the temple. That's the idea here, I think, of temple quality. That the older women need to be people whose lives reflect God, who reflect their relationship with God. And then he mentions, really, I think in contrast to this reverence in behavior, he mentions two negative things that they are to avoid. That they are not to be slanderers and they are not to be addicted to wine. Now, when you read the book of the letter to Titus, it must have been difficult living on the island of Crete. Paul cited a statement by a philosopher. He said, Cretans are always liars, evil brutes, and lazy gluttons. And so perhaps the temptation was for these older women in their life to become bitter and to withdraw. And so what they were doing, perhaps instead of facing problems head on, is they were withdrawing, and perhaps they were drinking alcohol, withdrawing through alcohol, and instead of participating and helping, they just stood on the outside. Basically, Paul's saying, don't be self-absorbed. Because in contrast to that, he says, teach what is good. The things that they have learned over the course of their life as a Christian are to be shared with others. It says they are to be shared with others. Teach what is good. And so, verse 4, train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. So there's a responsibility that older women have to the younger women in the congregation, that they're to live their lives in such a way that they teach by word and by example, that they too can live lives that are pleasing to God. The older women can stand as wonderful examples of what it looks like to be a submissive wife, what it looks like to be a committed wife. An older woman can be an example as a mother to younger mothers of how to help their children grow in the faith, to love their children in such a way that we talked about with a firm love. A type of love that doesn't allow just anything to be done for the sake of pleasing their child, but to learn to love their children in a way that will glorify God. It says, you teach them, you be that example for them to be makers in the home, or busy at home. I think the idea behind that statement is just that for the wife, for the mother, the home is at the very center of all that they do. Everything that they do on a daily basis, that the wife, the mother, is to be at the home, the center of her life. That this is what it's about. All of her operations. Reads Proverbs 31 with the virtuous woman. Here is a woman whose daily operations centered around the home. And the result of all of this, when older women are teaching through word and teaching by example, the result is that the word of God may not be reviled. See, here's really the idea that I want you to see, this big picture. That older women are to live a lifestyle that enables them to train and encourage younger women. And the principle is that older Christians are to model what the next generation is to become. The older members of this congregation, your responsibility, your role, is to have these characteristics present in your life so that those of us who are younger can look to your example and we can be encouraged. We can pursue that kind of behavior. We can look to you and say, that's the way that I need to go. Here is an individual who has lived their life in service to the Lord. You are a role model of what the next generation is to become. But older Christians must continue to learn This is important. This is important to grasp. And think about what Paul says in verse 1 of chapter 2. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Then he says, older men, older women. So what's the idea? Well, the idea is you teach the older men. You teach the older women. There are things that you can still learn even as you grow older. And as I mentioned earlier, this shatters the myth that you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That you never reach a point in your Christian life where you say, I have arrived. I have met every expectation that God expects of me. I have served this church for 35 plus years, and now it's time to hand it over to the next generation. No, you are to be an active participant of the work of the congregation. You still have the opportunity and the responsibility to learn. Because if you quit learning, if you quit growing, if you quit being renewed inwardly day by day, you're going to quit making an impact. You're going to quit making a productive impact in the lives of members of this church. It is important for everyone, young and old, to continue to learn, to continue to grow, to continue to teach. I have a hard time in the scriptures of the idea of retiring from our service to the Lord. You might retire from secular work. We don't retire from our service and responsibilities that we have in the Lord. I read this week about a guy who was 94 years old, lived a long, full life, and he just wasn't done dreaming of what he could be and what he could do. And so, long story short, he decided that he always wanted to be in the marching band. So he decided he was going to go down to the local high school and he was going to join the marching band. And sure enough, they let the guy on the marching band. The students said, sure, you could come. And they gave him the cymbals. I guess you don't have to read music to play cymbals. But they gave him the cymbals, and he was marching with the marching band, playing the cymbals. And he learned how to do that, even at 94 years old. I think about us as Christians, of how important it is, even in old age, that God is still capable of using you. That God is still capable to use your life to bear fruit in your old age. You're never too old to learn. You're never too old to grow and to produce fruit. I'll come back to you in just a moment. I'm going to stop as I wrap up here and just make a few statements to us younger Christians. I'm kidding. Whether you're a teenager or you're out of school and college, however you define yourself as a younger Christian, this is for everyone here. Don't forget that the older members of this church are as important as every other member. We are so blessed here at Vestavia to have the example of men and women who have lived their faith for years, have put their faith on display as a loving husband, as a loving wife, as loving parents, and we have their example to look to. And so I would encourage you, first of all, to get to know the older Christians. Get to know the older Christians. Have them into your home. Talk with them. Take time to visit with them. Learn about their life. Learn about their story and where they've been. And they can teach us so much. Because when you do that, you can encourage the older Christians. It could be that some of them are lonely. And they're probably here this morning thinking, they really just don't have that much to contribute. What is it that I can do for the work? Let them know how important they are to the work of this congregation. Let them know how much we need them, how much we need just their example of daily living for God. But then finally, young people, realize, unless the Lord returns, you're going to be old someday. You're going to be old someday. And this will be a sermon that some younger preacher will preach many years from now to us. And we'll listen to this and realize that our time is now as an older example to the young men and to the young women. Let Titus 2, these verses here in Titus chapter 2, describe the older man or the older woman that you want to become And Doy mentions this last week of the idea that this isn't going to happen overnight. That we need to make the choice now, teenagers, everyone, right now, that this is the type of person that I want to be. This is how I want my life described when I get older, so that I can be an example to young people. As the older people have encouraged me, I can be that type of individual. As for the older, so impressed by your faith. I know this church here is impressed by your faith, impressed by all the trials, the difficulties that you've experienced in your life, but yet here you are, and God is not done with you yet. And this church is not done with you either. You have wonderful, wonderful examples to us and opportunities to teach us and to help us in our struggles and in our trials. You know, there's an 85-year-old man in the Bible named Caleb, and he never yielded to the temptation to give up in his faith in God. You remember Caleb was only one of the two spies who believed that the Israelites could go into the land of Canaan and they could conquer it. But the other ones voted them down. But 45 years later, the Israelites are marching victoriously through Canaan. And he says to Joshua in Joshua chapter 14 at verse 11, "I am still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I am just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then." And he says, "Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard then that the Anakites were there and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." 85 years old, the Lord helping me. Caleb is an inspiration because he kept on serving. He kept on changing. He kept on focusing on the future. And he kept on being positive. And he kept on trusting that God would take care of him. And he did. And may we all follow his example as we approach his age. So we'll offer the invitation this morning for everyone of every age. It could be that you're here this morning. You need to make some type of decision. You need to make some type of choice in your relationship with God. Perhaps you need to decide today that today is the day that I'm going to be baptized, that I'm going to submit my life to the will of God and be immersed in water for the forgiveness of my sins, and I'm going to live for the Lord. Perhaps you need to make that choice, or maybe you need to make the choice this morning that you're going to commit yourself to the Lord and put the past behind you. But whatever we can do to help you in your walk with God, come on up to the front right now while we stand and sing.